Dear Father, we thank you today that we can come before you and know that your love never fails, that it never gives up, Lord, that it is always there for us. We can always turn to you. Lord, we are looking forward to this season of hope, Lord, this time when we can await our expected Savior and know, Lord, that it is the best gift we could possibly ever receive. Father, this morning I come before you and I thank you for the many things that we have to praise you for this week, Lord. We thank you for the good report on Nancy Folks' lymph node, Lord, and we thank you so much that she is healing. And Lord, we continue to pray for her strengthening, for her to become healthy and well again, Lord. And we ask that you would continue to work through her, Lord. And Lord, thank you for her loving heart, that no matter what she's going through, Lord, she puts you first and is sharing your love with others. Strengthen her as she does this and use her words, Lord, to further your kingdom with how she loves others. And Father, we pray for Brittany this morning and for her loss and for the pain and angst and the suffering and the difficulty and the questions and the misunderstanding. Lord, I pray for her family that you would lift them up, that you would help them, that you would comfort them, Lord, that you would give them that peace that passes all understanding in a time where all you want is understanding, Lord. But you are there. You are the great comforter. And Lord, I pray for such significant comfort that they could not deny that it was anyone but you. It was you, Lord. Father, I pray for our children in the nursery and our nursery workers and our children downstairs and our children's ministry workers. Father, they are talking about Advent, Lord. They are talking about your coming Savior. And Father, I would pray that you would impress upon them how meaningful, how important, and how special this gift is. That you would draw them closer to you and that you would help them to understand the true meaning of Christmas is the love of your Son and our future of being saved and the possible and hope of eternal life in heaven. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this word. Lord, I pray that you would put my words away and bring your words out, that you would help people to hear what they need to hear, for hearts and lives to be changed, and for us to all leave here a more hopeful people who love you more, who know you more, and can share this with everyone around them. We ask these things in your holy name. Amen. All right, way to amen. Keep it up. You can do it all through the message. Hi. Hi, Marty. Bye. It's a very unusual morning this morning. I think it's not a good week at all for electronics at North Park. My computer died as well, and the PowerPoint projector for children's ministry died as well. So it's just kind of an interesting week, but I still have hope, lots of hope, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Christmas has always been a season of hope for me. I love Christmas. And my mom had a way of making Christmas such a hope-filled time. And not in a Santa Claus-ish kind of way, or what am I going to get out of it kind of a way, but this is a holy time kind of a way. We had an Advent wreath every night at the dinner table, and we would take turns as kids being able to light it, which I loathed because I was terrified of fire, and I didn't like the matches because they burn out too quick, and I was always afraid I was going to burn my fingers. So I remember the Advent wreath extremely well because you had to do your part, and I was always glad on the nights that it wasn't my turn, and that was every night at dinner because we had dinner together every night as a family back in the olden days, and so that was ongoing, and our candles were really short by the time Christmas rolled around. So we also had the nativity placed nicely on top of our RCA television because that was where everyone was looking all the time in those days. But Jesus was not in it. We did not put baby Jesus in the manger until Christmas morning. And if you were the lucky child of between me and my two brothers who got to put Jesus in the manger on Christmas morning, you were a lucky and blessed person. I still think Steve got to do it more than any of us, and I really don't think that's fair. But I hope he's listening online, Steve. All right, video teaser. Well, we didn't have a video teaser today. We had a video teaser that was basically the story of Jesus' birth. And that, for me, brings things into blossom for me. Thanksgiving happens, and it's wonderful, and I'm so thankful for my family, and I love having them around, and it's a beautiful time. But then, this little bit of anticipation, this little seedling sprouts in my heart, and it grows, and it blossoms, and it seems to get bigger towards Christmas. I know that you see it and you feel it. If you come to Christmas Eve service here, there is a difference in the air, and it is hope. It is beautiful, and I love it. So I love this time of year as this grows. It's such a wonderful time, and we all have Christmas memories, and some of them are good, and maybe some of them are not so good, and that's okay. I mean, we're going to have memories. This is part of life. But whether your memories are positive or negative, this is a season of hope. And if you're a child, you're hoping that you have been good enough. You are hoping that you get that one present that you really wanted. You're hoping that you can behave yourself. You're hoping to make it through school until Christmas break. You're hoping that maybe your grandparents are going to come visit. And you hope that you have that beautiful, perfect Christmas that you have in your mind, idealized and dreamed of. Adults have hopes at Christmas too. They hope their kids can manage to behave themselves during this exciting time of year. They hope that they may find and fall in love with that special someone and have a Christmas Hallmark romance movie in their life. They hope that they will receive that special gift from their beloved one. And they hope that they might find what they wanted on sale on Black Friday. They hope that they won't go crazy and lose their mind and go into deep debt. And they hope in January that they will be able to pay the bills. That's the kind of hope, secularly speaking, that most of us have during this time. But the hope we're talking about today is a different kind of hope. This is the first Sunday of Advent. We've lit the hope candle. This is a different kind of hope. It is a holy hope, a special and dear holy hope. Our scripture passage today is Luke 1, 26 through 45. So if you want to turn there or grab your device, please do and join me. It's one of the best stories of all time. And it says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town of Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered at what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "Well, how will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, who is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said not to be, to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it is full of promises that we can lean on, trust in, and rely upon because your word never fails. You always keep your promises. And today, if we are wondering, if you will, change our hearts to know without question that you always, always keep your promises. Amen. Point number one today, hope-filled. We are hope-filled. This is a passage that is loaded with hope. I've read it a zillion times over the years since I was a little kid, and as I was preparing for this message, I read it with different eyes. This time I read it with the eyes of hope. We start with Elizabeth, who is 6 months pregnant, and if you've read what comes before that, then you know what's going on. But don't worry, we'll get back to that later if you don't know what's going on. God sends the angel Gabriel to Mary in Nazareth. She is a young teenage girl of no consequence that no one probably thought much about except God. God thought about her. Remember, in the context at this time, females were not considered that important. And a teenage girl, probably even less so. Gabriel starts with, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." You have found favor with God. Though this frightens and confuses Mary, this is a pretty hope-filled greeting, I would say. It would just be like me saying, yo, Anastasia, you are highly favored by God. Blessed are you. This is phenomenal. He has found favor with you. And you're like, well, I don't know about that. I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. Why am I highly favored? What have I done to deserve this kind of attention, this favor? How is the Lord with me? I don't see it. I'm not seeing it. That's probably how Mary felt. I doubt Mary saw what God saw, but what a beautiful message to receive from God. How would you feel if that one was for you? And Gabriel goes on to consider sharing exactly what God is planning to do, exactly what God is planning to do for Mary, and ultimately for the world, for all of history, everything that was going to come. He has Gabriel lay the hope-filled plans before Mary. But, you know, think about this. God can do whatever he wants. He didn't have to have Mary's permission. He didn't have to do anything. But he tells Gabriel to give Mary the plans with details. With details. You have found favor with God, and this is what he's going to do. You're going to become pregnant. Ah, okay. You will give birth to a son. Guess what, guys? It's a boy. And this is before ultrasound. People didn't know what their babies were back then. They had no clue. You got what you got. He will be the Son of the Most High. You will call him Jesus. But this is the good part. He's not going to be just an ordinary boy. He's going to be great. Now, all of us, when we're going to have children, and those of you who've had children, you're like, I really hope I have a great kid. She already knew it was going to be a boy before ultrasound and that he was going to be great. If only we were all that lucky. Talk about it. This is a wonderful thing. So he goes on to tell her, he's the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of David. He will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. And my favorite part, his kingdom will never end. Never. This is awesome. If this does not fill you with hope, I don't know what will. I don't know what will. This is awesome news. This is fantastic news. News to celebrate. It's imparting us with hope, not only to Mary, but for us here, thousands of years later, here we are, and we have that hope. We have that hope. But then Mary's a little confused and maybe a little off put. So point number two is hopeless. Mary keeps her wits about her. She really does. And asks the question begging to be asked. Well, how's this going to happen? How's this going to happen? I'm a virgin. Let's face it, guys. You know, you got to have sex to get pregnant, okay? Which is probably one of the reasons Mary wasn't doing this. This is why one of the reasons she found favor with God. Because she was a good girl. She was doing the right things. Mary could lose some hope here because how's this going to happen? How is this going to happen? But Gabriel goes on to reinstate this momentary loss of hope, and he says, what appears to be a hopeless situation, the Holy Spirit will make this possible. You don't have to do anything. The power of God will overshadow you. You will give birth to the Son of God. Now, I wonder if there's some doubt on Mary's face here, because Gabriel goes on to share another bit of information that seemed really hopeless. Remember Elizabeth from the beginning? She was 6 months pregnant. Gabriel shares with Mary, as we read in verse 36, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. So here is this angel that Mary doesn't know up until a couple of minutes ago and gives her even more reason to hope and more reason to believe in God's promises. Mary replies to Gabriel, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. And the question that I wonder about in this is, would you be that agreeable to the same situation? Hi, you're pregnant. You're having the Son of God. Surprise! Would you? Or better yet, would you be agreeable if God asked you today to do something completely unbelievable? Would you be willing? And it would be something that had to be done in his power. It couldn't be done in yours. Would you be willing? Would you say yes? I would hope that I would say yes once I got up off the floor from passing out from an angel appearing, but, you know, she was his servant. Mary was the Lord's servant, and we as believers are the Lord's servants. Our answer needs to be yes. We are to remain his servants even in what seems to be the most hopeless of situations. We are to remain steadfast. Mary did. Elizabeth did. We need to point number three, hope in God's promises. We need to hope in God's promises. We need to trust and hope. In verse 37, Gabriel tells Mary, "For no word from God will ever fail." You heard that, right? No word from God will ever fail. God keeps his promises. Mary goes to see Elizabeth and finds Gabriel's words to her to be true. They were true. And Elizabeth was expecting. But here's my favorite part, verse 41. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Even the baby in Elizabeth's womb leaped for joy at the presence and the promise of the Lord. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. The hope of Jesus coming even reached the baby in Elizabeth's womb. The baby who would be born to be John the Baptist, leading the way for Jesus. Guys, that's hope-filled. But our hope should be greater. We know how the story ends. We know where it's going. God keeps his promises. This is a hope-filled time of year, but hope for a different reason. We all know the day-to-day living. It's not easy. It's hard. It's difficult sometimes and frustrating, like when the computer crashes between services and stuff like that. We know it's difficult. And some of you right here might be having a really hard time looking at the season. And how can people be so happy? How can they be so hope-filled? Because there's promises that we can rely on. If your focus is on God and what he's doing and the coming of his son, for the reason of growing up and dying on the cross for our sins, we need to have hope. We need to stay focused. Staying focused on God will re-energize. It will re-energize your hope and help you to carry on. And you're sitting there, well, Pastor Meg, you don't really know what I've been going through this year. You don't know how hard it has been. You just don't know. Yeah. In this room right now, I can look out and I can see several people who are representing struggles and difficulties and sometimes hopeless situations. But God has given us promises, promises that do not fail. His promises do not fail. Back in the beginning of the message, I shared about how my mom made Christmas such a hope-filled time for us in our home growing up. And I may have shared this with some of you. Some of you know the story. Actually, some of the people I thought would know the story didn't know this story. But I think it's worth sharing because it's a fantastic reminder to me. And it's good for all of us to help us keep our focus on God's promises and the hope that we have in him. It was Christmas time, 1999, and Leah was just getting over treatment for non-Hodgkin's lymphoma cancer. And he had called me from Roswell. They had been doing this process to filter his blood to make sure the cancer cells were gone. And he had to go up like every day for a week and do this. And so he called me. I am on my way home. I am officially done. Woohoo! Yay! We were celebrating. It was a fantastic time. I was getting the kids ready to go to school to their Christmas concert. Annie was like in this little gold dress. It was so cute. I love that dress. And so I remember this very clearly. And so like within 20 minutes of Leo calling to tell me he was on his way home from Roswell, the phone rings. I answer it. It's my mom. She was just diagnosed with breast cancer. In the space of 20 minutes, we went from elation and joy and dancing to the depths of despair and heartache at Christmas time. How does one go from celebrating in joy one minute and into the gutter the next? My mom had surgery right before Christmas and received treatment and was actually declared cancer-free in August of 2000. In September, she and my dad and her twin sister and her husband went to Ireland to celebrate. My mom loved going to Ireland. This would have been her second trip to Ireland. She was fantastically excited. They were having a great time. And after my parents had been in Ireland for a week, I received a call from my cousin. It was on me and Leo's wedding anniversary, I remember. And my cousin told me, "Your mom's coming home from Ireland. She's really sick. She's really sick." So Leo and I immediately left with the kids, and we went and met them when they arrived in Cincinnati. And my mom was really not well. She wasn't even the right color. We went to the doctor's the next morning, and she had scans and the whole entire nine yards and all the work. And the cancer was back. In 1 month's time, the cancer was back. And it was everywhere. Liver, lungs, kidney, pancreas, brain. It was everywhere. To treat it, the doctor said she might have 6 months to live. And to not treat, he said maybe 6 weeks. Mom chose not to treat. We went home and we called in hospice, and I stayed to take care of her. I stayed in Cincinnati. Leo came home with the boys. Annie and I stayed there. And one afternoon, while she was sleeping in her hospital bed, which was strategically planted in the living room, I was crying uncontrollably. This was my best friend. This was my mom. I don't want to be in the world without her. And my mom woke up, and she looked at me, and she said, she always called me Maggie. She said, "Oh, Maggie, don't cry. Don't cry. I get to spend Christmas with my mom and my dad and my sister and God." In the next couple of days, she deteriorated really quickly, quite quickly. And one night, very late at night, I was keeping vigil next to my mother's bed. She hadn't talked in a couple of days, and she was comatose, but I wanted every second with her, even if it was just every second I could just hold her hand. I just wanted to hold her hand, even if there was no conversation. And I got to thinking about Christmases. This was going to be the first Christmas without my mom. This was in October. And how she always made Christmas special, and how was I going to do that without her? And then I got to thinking, as a child growing up in our house, the radio was on Christmas music 24/7 growing up. We had Bing Crosby and the Andrews Sisters and Nat King Cole and all these wonderful guys. But every time the song No Place Like Home for the holidays would come on, my mom would turn it up the radio nice and loud, and me and my brothers, we would sing along with the song because she was happy. It was her mother's favorite song, her mother's favorite Christmas song, and we all knew that. And it was a special time. It wasn't a sad time for my mom. It's, "Oh, my mom's favorite song. Let's crank it. Let's sing it. Let's be happy." And we were. You see, my mom had hope because she knew where her mom was. She knew she was going to see her mom again. She knew her mom wanted her to celebrate Christmas with joy and with hope. And she did. Never saw my mother cry about missing her mom on Christmas. She had hope. She was going to see her again. So as I sat there in the dark in the middle of the night, I decided that maybe I should start ringing in Christmas with my mom. And I decided I was going to sing her favorite song in the dark, just sitting there. I'm trying not to cry. I almost cried at 9 o'clock. And as I started to sing the first couple of lines of the song, and remember, my mom hadn't spoken in a couple of days or even really been awake, my mom began to sing. And we sang the song together, clear to the end. She didn't say another word after that. It was just a beautiful moment that I will always remember. She was going to be celebrating Christmas in heaven with God and with her loved ones. How could I possibly be sad for her? How? She had hope. I had hope. My kids will have hope because we know about God. We know that his promises never fail. We have hope because Jesus came and was born to Mary in a stable, for the reason of loving us beyond anything we could ever comprehend by dying on the cross for our sins. I get it, guys. Life can be full of hopelessness. But our hope, guys, it doesn't come from our circumstances. Our hope does not come from our circumstances. Our hope comes from God. Our hope comes from God, no matter what you are facing today. We have choices that we have to make. Mary placed her hope in God. Elizabeth placed her hope in God. Our hope should not be in the president, our economy, our bank accounts, our health, our children, or any other number of things. Our hope should be in God. Our hope should be in those promises that he has made, there is eternal life. As God's servants, it is our job to hope in his promises. It is our job to serve expectantly, waiting, because his promises never fail. How has your hope been lately? How has your hope been in recent days? Is it where it should be? Is your hope where it should be? My mom loved Christmas. I love Christmas. And my hope and my celebrations of Christmas are the hopes of eternal life with God in heaven. I will see her again, but in the meantime, I have hope. I don't have to be miserable. I don't have to fall apart. I know where Mom is. I know where she went. I know where I'm going. I know God's promises are true, and I'm going to celebrate that. I'm going to love Christmas, and I'm going to enjoy it. And when those songs come on the radio, well, not the radio, on the Spotify, I'm going to go to my iPad and turn the volume up, and I'm going to sing with my kids. Because I have hope. You have hope. We all have hope. Go home. Turn up the music. Hope in God. Because Luke 1:45 says, "For no word of God will ever fail." Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for your hope. I thank you, Lord, that I can stand here and celebrate knowing, Lord, that I will see you one day in heaven. Lord, that I will see my mom, that I will celebrate the ultimate Christmas in heaven with you, Lord, and I thank you for these people here who can be given your hope, can choose your hope, can choose to make those choices to hope in you, knowing that your promises never fail, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for sending your son. Help each and every one of us as we step forward into this Advent season to be hopeful people and to share that hope with others who so desperately need to hear about you and to know you. God, use us, your servants, and let us do what you have called us to do, and help us to change your kingdom for your glory and for your honor. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. But the ushers, go ahead and come on forward as we prepare to give to God your tithe and offering. I'm also going to try ad hoc to remember the announcements and share them with you briefly. While the offering is being taken up, please offer your grace and forgiveness to me, for I'm sure I'll forget yours, whichever one that might happen to be. Let's pray. Our God, I thank you for this day. This day when we're reminded that this life is all about the next one. Because our hope is placed in that eternity with you, whatever you allow to come into this life is okay. I pray, Lord, that we would live these lives of hope so strongly that those who know us best would wonder why in the world we can go through hard times and good times always full of excitement about what's coming around the corner. I pray that we would live lives that expect better tomorrow than was yesterday. And ultimately, that we are excited about your son's return and our ability to live forever with him. I ask these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Yeah.
As you're passing the offering plate, I ask you to also fill out the black Fred books on the outside of the pew aisle. If you would fill those out, pass them to the middle and then back to the outside. That helps us tremendously to keep in touch with you. We have several sign-ups out in the foyer this week. Number one is the poinsettias. If you would like to purchase a poinsettia in honor or in memory of a loved one, then please sign up in the foyer on the poinsettia list. You'll need to get your check for the appropriate amount, I can't remember offhand, to Lois Lester, written out to Giant by next Sunday. So please do keep that in mind. Also, if you're willing to help us, we're trying to bake 30 dozen Christmas cookies to give to the faculty, staff, and administration of the Cuba Rushford School District by December 22nd. So that sign-up list is also out in the foyer. Please do that. If you're in need of a manger to go in front of your yard and celebrate
teachers.
The season of Advent together, you don't have one.
Just to tell
we actually
appreciate
have four
them.
Out in between the parking lot and the office building. If you could take up to three of those, don't take the last one unless you're Tim Madison. He's taking that one home as a prototype to be able to make more. So please don't take the last one unless you're Tim, okay? But if you need one, go ahead and take one. If there are no more left out there or there's just one left, sign up in the foyer that you would like to get one of those. If you can afford to help out, the cost of materials is around $5. That would be tremendously helpful. If you can't, we still want you to have one. The only other thing I can remember off the top of my head, well, two things. Holiday assistance is coming up. We'll need help with sorting on Tuesday.
The 12th.
The 12th of December, and then distribution on the 14th of December, which is a Thursday. And then if you are a member of our church and interested in taking your next step, which is class 201, that meets tonight at 6 p.m., please see me eyeball to eyeball and say at least 201 to me so I know to have the appropriate number of materials that are necessary for tonight's meeting.
Thanks. I already done it.
I remembered them all. I'm sure I
did.
There is a bulletin. Please feel free to check that since how we couldn't do our video announcements like we normally do. With that being said, if you go ahead and stand to your feet, we'll close with the benediction. Lord God, I pray that you would bless these, your sons and daughters, this week with a knowledge of their salvation based upon their faith in your Son, Jesus Christ.